Hi, welcome to the Speaking of Sex podcast. This is Chris from PleasureMechanics.com, and on today's episode, we have the pleasure of speaking with Andrea Barica, founder of O-School. You can find a complete podcast archive over at PleasureMechanics.com, and while you are there, sign up for the Erotic Essentials, our free online course that offers you a treasure trove of resources to build a foundation for a happier, healthier sex life. You will also find all of our online courses where we guide you stroke by stroke in mastering new erotic skills like erotic spanking, foreplay, couples massage, and also check out our brand new course, Mindful Sex, to totally transform the way you think and feel and experience your sexuality. All of that and more can be found at PleasureMechanics.com. Our guest today is Andrea Barica. She is the founder of O-School, which is a new platform for online pleasure education. O-School launched a few months ago, and I have been so enjoying tuning in. O-School offers live streams from a wide range of sex educators on everything from body image to erotic humiliation, really the whole gamut of topics concerning human sexuality. In this interview, I talked to Andrea about why she founded O-School, her vision for pleasure positive education, and our shared frustrations with the barriers to doing sex education online. So I hope you enjoy this conversation with Andrea Barica, and I look forward to seeing you on an O-School stream sometime soon. Cheers.
My name is Andrea Barica. I am the founder of O-School, and O-School is a shame-free community platform to learn about sex, pleasure, and identity. We're powered by live streaming and live chat, and our vision is that anyone in the world can participate in live classes about sex, identity, and intimate problems in their lives.
What informed this decision? Because you came out of Silicon Valley, you started an accounting company, is that right?
That is correct.
So what inspired this company?
The other sexy industry.
Oh, yes.
I was personally going through a lot of my own sexual shame. I was working through it in therapy. I was going to these in-person workshops. I remember walking into my first Good Vibrations store in Berkeley in 2008. I was 18 years old. And it was a really transformational time. Not soon after my own sexual liberation journey, I started my first technology company. And what was always striking to me was that while I was going through this very private and sometimes very painful problem with my sexuality, it was very rare that I reached the answers that I needed online. You know, I really found that it was either Planned Parenthood resources, which are great, or porn, which also can be great. But there was very little, you know, in between that. And that's where I know that I needed someone I needed people to help me unlearn a lot that I'd been taught. And it wasn't always things I needed to learn. It was things that I needed to unlearn.
Yes.
And I started to think about ways to make that happen online because, as you know, we've talked about, so many people don't have access to a Good Vibrations in their town. And I'm so lucky that I had a feminist sex positive store where I was growing up and where I needed this. And I started to, you know, really become obsessed with this problem as I continued to build my technology company. And even after leaving it, I became an investor and started investing in technology companies. And I didn't see anyone really solving this problem. And I started to learn more and more about the channels, for example, you know, YouTube and Facebook and Reddit and all these different communities where this type of content isn't welcome, isn't particularly, you know, isn't even particularly, respected in any way. So I felt like there was this huge gap, and that was kind of what propelled me to leave my venture capital role in 2016 and raise some money to start building O-School.
I love it. I love it. And can you talk about what values are informing the creation of O-School?
Yeah, values, that's a living, breathing evolution in a company. And I would say that for us, we've done, we've kind of done the work of defining the values for ourselves. One of the values that I know that from the day one I wanted to start O School with was this idea of softness, radical softness, some people call it. But this idea that you have to have a thick skin in business, and that there you have to be cutthroat, and that always going for the bottom line is what builds great companies. I think that from the start, even when I wasn't working in sexuality, but I was working in venture capital, that's always a value that I've kept into to my work, and that I have very thin skin, but I have really rapidly generating skin, and that business leadership can be really empathetic and soft at times. And so that's a value that we have inserted into just the way we've built our pleasure professional community and the way that we built our community guidelines for O schoolers when they're in live streams. Another value that we have is authenticity. I think that when you learn about your sexuality, which can include that you don't really care for sexuality, you could be asexual, but any sort of insight into your relationship to sexuality, relationships, I think builds so much authenticity to who you are. And so much of our society keeps us from that knowledge, keeps us from that aha moment of, oh, this is what makes me feel alive, or this is the type of sexuality that's right for me. This is the right expression of sexuality for me. And that feeling of authenticity that comes from that is what drove me to start O School. And I would say that, while everything that we do at O School, how we design the product, how we build the experiences, how we choose our pleasure professionals, are all around bringing people to that aha moment so that they can live in the authenticity of whatever lifestyle, identity, sexual expression, or lack thereof that they choose to pursue.
That's so beautiful. And it seems like intersectionality has really been front and center as well.
Absolutely. I'm a queer woman of color. I grew up in a low-income Filipino family in my early years. My dad was an immigrant from the Philippines and, worked at McDonald's and then went on to unload boxes at UPS. And that's what he was doing when I was born. So I really do feel a connection to my low-income roots. I feel a connection to being a first-generation immigrant with a family that came from a culture that, in general, infused a lot of shame and judgment into how I viewed my own sexuality, which was a huge barrier that took many, many years. And I'm still, even now at 27, I'm still working through. And then, of course, coming into my queerness later in life because of all that shame, I like, so me personally, I didn't think there was another way to build O School. And through this process, I've also just learned so much of what intersectional really means. I've had so many people help me learn more about asexuality and, different bodies and different able-bodiedness, like lenses of looking at sexuality, and, different abilities, there's so much to learn, and I'm definitely part of that group that's always trying to learn more. And the team that we designed O School with has definitely reflected that. We have a pleasure professional community that's over half people of color, over two-thirds queer, and over 15% gender nonconforming and trans right now, and that's continuing to grow. So we're really excited about that. I don't think that there was a vision of O School that for us wouldn't be intersectional, because that's the range of identities and experiences that people bring.
It's so beautiful. And, one of my frustrations with the sex education field is the aspirational model where sex educators feel like they have to, put on lingerie and be in this perfectly sexually empowered space in order to invite people in, when it often feels more alienating. And the range of educators you have and the attitudes they bring are also different, that you can find, it's almost like a tribe of elders or a council where I'm developing different relationships with different pleasure professionals and what they embody and the values they bring forward. And it gives permission for all these different parts of ourselves to have a home at O School. It's so beautiful what you're doing.
Thank you. I mean, O School's nothing without our community. I showed up really trying to learn about what the issues and problems were and try to infuse the expertise or technology or, you know, whatever resources that we could bring to this community. But I really feel like when I met sex educators for the first time, when I was just starting to put together the concept and building the community, it was really clear to me that these people are medicine. Pleasure professionals, the work that you do, Chris, and have been doing for the last decade or more, is medicine for people. And what we have is a really poor way of delivering this medicine to a lot of people. For some reason, this is just a very difficult type of transformation to scale, right? It's something that I think as technology continues to expand and be, you know, innovated on, scaling that one-to-one transformation that a therapist or a sex educator or a sexologist or, you know, a feminist sex store employee can have, that impact that you can have one-to-one, it's really difficult to translate that in a big and scalable way. And so that is what we're really excited to do, because once more people learn about themselves, build empathy for themselves and others, you know, with the world and how it is right now, with the government that we have, with everything going on in the world today, being able to scale one-to-one transformation is the technology that, like, is what technology really hasn't figured out yet. And we're really excited to try.
Yeah, and some of the problems you're addressing are the things that we have struggled with for the past 10 years. So being censored, being denied access to services like billing, the trolling, the harassment, being lumped in with pornography when we're trying to do education. How did you become aware of these problems, and how are you using technology to try to create a different solution?
I absolutely empathize with, I can't imagine what it's been like trying, you know, building sex education in the last 10 years. I think that now is a time where, you know, social attitudes about sex have opened up, and, you know, millennials are twice as likely to identify as LGBTQ, and, you know, 50 Shades of Grey was a phenomenon. I don't think that would have happened 10 years ago. That's happening now. And so in some ways, I think the timing of starting O School now has really helped, but it's amazing to me that the barriers sounds like just as strong as they've been while like society has kind of moved perspective, Visa, MasterCard, and, you know, large institutions that power a lot of technology haven't moved. For example, O School should be in the App Store and we should be running live streaming through an app, but, you know, we're not confident that they would allow us. And so there's just so many barriers that you've described. The way that I learned about these barriers is before I started O School, I was sure that someone else had thought of O School. I didn't actually in the beginning plan to build a company around it. I just thought, okay, well, I'm just going to find whoever is doing the closest thing and go help them. Like, I think I can help. I'm going to go find the person. And I couldn't find a lot of people who were building solutions for these structural problems. For example, you know, I met so many, you know, sex educators and sex organizations, but very few of them had cracked the billing problem. Very few of them had cracked the, you know, censorship problem. And I started to think about the larger problems, which is, hey, like there are people doing this work, and they lack either the scale, the relationships, like whatever it is that would need to overcome these barriers. And frankly, building another channel for people to discover content, which is, for example, right now we have Twitter, we have Facebook, we have Reddit, we have all these things. These were not founded on the same values that like you and I have founded. You know, the founders, you know, who are behind Twitter, you know, they've expressed disappointment in how much bullying and harassment have proliferated on their on the platform that they built. The founders, you know, there are people that I've met who were early team members of Facebook who look at what Facebook's become and they're like, ooh, like, did we do a good thing? Like, did we build a good thing? And so I thought, I really saw that we have to create a channel. Like, we have to create a place where people can go to find things. And that's not easy. That takes a lot of resources. And so while I didn't initially go in thinking like, I'm going to build O-School to be a channel, it felt like after looking at everybody in the space, it was the only thing that we could build that would actually have an impact. When you think of like, how can you, you know, build a startup, you always think about what's like the minimal thing that you can build to, you know, see if you can really solve a problem. And so it was never like I wanted to build live streaming software, right? Usually when you want to build a company, you can use off-the-shelf things, right? Like, you use off-the-shelf softwares, you use off-the-shelf, you know, parts of technology so that you can build the solution and focus on a core competency. And for us, sadly, we did have to build live streaming because the content was not welcome on, you know, so many other platforms. It was necessary for us to build, which is not fair, right? You you have to raise more money, you have to get more resources than companies that, for example, are education for golf or for creative classes or for just non-sex related content don't have to do the same things that we do. And then as for billing, my first company was in the accounting and tax space, so I was lucky that I had real deep relationships with some payment processors and could leverage that, but it took months. It took months to get past their risk and legal teams. But we were able to do that. And that was something I was really glad to bring to the sex education world, because individual sex educators, it's really difficult to negotiate with large companies, but, you know, as a platform and as just someone who had worked in technology for a long time, I was able to call some favors and ask around and really try to push the leaders of these companies to acknowledge that this is the time for these platforms and they're absolutely not pornography.
And so, just to paint the picture for people, you have a team of pleasure professionals, and then every evening you offer, it's like 2 to 5 hours of different live stream events on a whole range of topics, from being queer and going home from the holidays to how to give a good spanking to body shame. It really covers the whole complexity of human sexuality. How did you assemble your pleasure professional team? Because one of the delights is I have discovered voices that after 10 years in the field, I had never heard of. How did you kind of gather this tribe of pleasure professionals?
A lot of pleasure professionals were looking for something like O-School, I found. Yeah. This was, of all the challenges that O-School faced, the challenge of building the pleasure professional community was really driven by word of mouth and people who were looking for this. So we went to a few conferences, we went to Creating Change, we went to Catalyst Con, we went to Sister Song. In New Orleans last year, we really went to the organizations that were doing the work, and we really focused on first going for communities where usually you don't see representation. So I would say we actually started out building the pleasure professional community, and we're like, oh my gosh, everyone's queer. We probably need some straight people around here. And that's a great problem to have. It's also a great problem to have to say, hey, like, we have so many Black women educators. This is amazing. I totally, you know, it was awesome to find people. And we focus on that first. I think, you know, when we started there, it was really amazing to just build and see the network grow pretty organically. And in terms of, you know, how we decided to build our pleasure professional community, one important decision that we had was, were we going to require licenses or degrees, kind of like ASECT? And we made the conscious decision to choose people who've had significant experience in the space teaching, but not requiring a degree, because that, you know, definitely affects the level of inclusiveness and the diversity of the people that you can, you know, that can join a platform like ours. And we've had great results with that, because so many, you know, medical doctors, there's a misconception that medical doctors and nurses are the go-to. Like, there's a study that of Americans, of where they would go to ask a sex-related question, and many of them say their doctor. And that's so sad, because there are so many sexologists and sex educators out there who are probably better equipped to answer these questions, because they actually have training in ways that medical doctors don't have training. Yet there's still this perception there. And so we specifically also were able to grow, because we were particular that we wanted pleasure professionals. And so our community includes medical doctors and therapists who have the initials by their name that they, or you know, the acronyms by their name that they need, the degrees they need, they have by their name. And then we also have people who are sex workers, who have been educators for, you know, 10 plus years, but have never gotten a degree in anything. We have a wide array, and so that people, based on their lived experiences and what problem they have, can you know, find the resources that they connect with.
One thing the streams all have in common is kindness, is one thing I've noticed. Did you set certain guidelines? Or are you just finding awesome people that are holding such good, compassionate spaces? And what are the role of moderators? Because the chat is always so kind and so generous and lovely, and there's a profound absence of cruelty and harassment. How do you navigate that?
We chose pleasure professionals that we would want to watch. It's an it, live streaming is not an easy medium. It is extremely difficult sometimes to translate all your energy and positivity and knowledge and to a screen. You don't see people, right? When you stream, when our pleasure professionals stream, they interact with chat, which is awesome, but they don't see the people that they're talking to. And so we definitely had to, in terms of the kindness, we had to have people who could translate their education to this medium of live streaming. And absolutely, the people who inspired us were the ones that their kindness can translate in this medium. Our pleasure professionals aim to make the streams feel intimate, like you're really there with them. And they are teamed up with our community moderators, and the moderator's job is to make sure that we support our pleasure professionals, so that, you know, they can focus on delivering a great workshop, a great experience, a great conversation. And the moderators are there to watch for any abusive, judgmental or shameful language. And this is actually a harder job than it sounds like, because we're an education platform. Not everyone who comes to an O-School stream is going to have any exposure to these topics. And so, of course, you know, we're a place for anyone to come and learn about sex, pleasure, identity. But what we don't tolerate is any, you know, name calling or language that's meant to, you know, be hurtful or trolling. We're very clear with our community guidelines. So the moderators just make sure that that's all going smoothly. But most of their job is really, you know, corralling all the questions and assisting the pleasure professionals.
Yeah, it feels like it brings out the best of people, which is what happens in the real live sex workshops. You know, you get people being generous and kind to one another around these topics that are usually so shame-based. It's beautiful. Yeah. So, what is your highest vision with this company? Why does this matter enough to you to put so much work and energy into at this stage of your life? Like, what is your highest hope for it?
My highest hope is that people all over the world have access to a safer space online to explore their sexuality, whether that's going to a class, learning about, you know, their sexuality, buying a product one day. That's definitely in our plans. And in this idea that we're taking space back on the internet. We, you know, I as a technology entrepreneur myself, I count myself as team human. There are definitely founders right now building companies, and sometimes I feel like they're on team robot. Like, I believe in a future of humanity. I believe that technology can be used to bring out the best in humanity. There's a lot of people who are really scared about what technology and the internet and the future holds for people. I am someone who believes that by bringing this access, by scaling this transformation, that we can have a world where people aren't in the dark about their bodies and their sexualities. And my highest vision for O-School is really to impact 1 billion people so that they can claim their sexuality or define what their sexuality, what best way to express their sexuality is for them. And to do that, to impact 1 billion people, we really need to create spaces online that people feel safe and can trust. And that's really the goal. So creating a place where people can hang out and meet each other is a goal that, another way to say it is, in my heart, I want to build something for people that I needed when I was 18, when I didn't have any resources. And I wake up and think every day of, like, you know, what 18-year-old is turning 18 today? And can we create something online so that when they have a question or they have a problem, that there's a shame-free place for them? That's really how I view our contribution every day is can we do better, and can we increase access to these awesome pleasure professionals who can help?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've heard you speak to, and this is something we've always held, is that when sexuality is healed and integrated, so much energy is freed up for the rest of the work we get to do in the world. So when I think about 1 billion people unlearning shame and healing from trauma and finding their desires, what then is always the question I love to meditate on. What would the world look like then?
Mm-hmm. Right. And I will say that part of this vision I have that I don't, you know, that I want to share with you, especially because, you know, you mentioned that these pleasure professionals are so awesome, is I'm very tired of watching sex educators and sex and pleasure professionals not see the financial success that they should see.
Yeah.
I really, there are many critiques on capitalism that I also share with people. I definitely have my critiques of capitalism. My decision to build O-School as a for-profit platform is also this belief that there is so much value to be created in the world in, you know, terms of money. And I'm tired of seeing that money flow into organizations that really aren't doing anything to shape what the future of human sexuality and the perspectives on sexuality. There are so few leaders in the business world that are controlling major capital. And I would like to see that more in the hands of sex educators, build their businesses, see that more in really conscious companies who want to have an impact and want to, you know, do good and do well. So I want to make that clear, because as much as my vision is connected to creating access, there's also $50 billion of sex toy sales or sex industry sales that are going to be happening in the next, you know, in the next 5 years. And who will benefit from that is a question that keeps me up at night. And part of why I work, I want to devote the next, you know, 10, 20, 30 years of my life to building this movement is because that is, you know, more sex educators making money will create more sustainability and grow this industry to what I think the potential could be.
Indeed. Thank you. My mom still asks, when am I going to get a real job? Which doesn't at all reflect on her pride in me. But for her, it's either, you know, be a doctor, be a lawyer, but to be a sex educator, that needs to be a viable profession because there's so much work to be done. So thank you for all you're doing.
Thank you, Chris, for the work that you have been doing. And I hope to, you know, add that and help in the movement.
Mm-hmm. So I invite all Pleasure Mechanics listeners to visit www.o.com. O.school. So when they call it O.school, it's literally O.school rather than O.com, O.school, and you will find a place to sign up and then you can join me. I love getting your emails every evening that kind of sets the menu for the night. And as I do my work in my office at night, I often join in the streams and love connecting with other sex educators and the community you're building. Thank you so much. And we will continue to celebrate O.school as it blossoms. You're doing such great work. I'm so, so thrilled that you have joined the movement.
Thank you, Chris.
Mm-hmm. So I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Andrea Barica, founder of O.school. I invite you to join me for a live stream at O.school. Visit the website and get on their mailing list, and you will be sent an email every evening telling you what's on the menu for that night's live streams. I have been so enjoying participating in the live streams, which is interesting because live streams are something that we at Pleasure Mechanics have purposefully avoided. I really like creating educational resources that are available to you anytime it is convenient to you, our online courses that you can revisit time and time again and take your time with and that are there waiting for you when you are ready to do some sex education in the privacy of your own home. I've never totally understood live streams because for me in my busy life, I always feel like kind of I'm missing out and they're never there when it's convenient for me. But as I'm realizing with O.school, the benefit to it is the online community that's developed, the live sense of camaraderie with the other people participating in the stream. So perhaps we will offer Pleasure Mechanics streams sometime soon, whether on O.school or on our own site, and we can have live conversations as a community. But in the meantime, come on over and explore our resources that we have ready and waiting for you when you are ready to tap in to your pleasure potential at pleasuremechanics.com. We will be back with you next week with a brand new episode. I'm Chris from pleasuremechanics.com, wishing you a lifetime of pleasure. Cheers.